Thank you, Mark. We thank you for leading us in praying for Rhys as he moves. Last week, Mark Mentz-Tomasi talked about trying to set up a fund or continue the fund actually for supporting Rhys. We've realized we need to rethink how we do that so that it's we do it through the proper channels and it's all above board and legal. So please don't sign up yet to pay through the bank if you were going to do that for Rhys. We'll let you know what the mechanism will be. However, we would like to give Rhys a goodbye present. So that's something different. So if you'd like to contribute to a gift for Rhys, we're not saying goodbye forever. Hopefully we're going to keep connections with Rhys. But as he moves from his role here to living in North London, it'd be nice to send him a farewell gift to help him on his way. So, Mark, I hope you're happy to take gifts for that. And Steve and Wendy, if anyone has got a contribution to that gift. And we'll say goodbye. Enough. I know you've had a meal to say goodbye to Rhys while I was away. It's sort of a long drawn out goodbye, isn't it? but there'll be a final goodbye Sunday. Be nice to give him a gift then. I think we're going to read the Bible. Yeah. If you want to take the Bibles, the blue Bible from the seat in front of you. On the screens, there is a sentence from Scripture. The Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. That's a sentence from Scripture. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And it's our understanding that we will hear God's voice in the Bible. Psalm 125. So I hope you can see that. Psalm 125 on page 623. A song of ascents, says at the title, which means a song about going up. When you ascend, you're going up. And I've said each week when we've looked at these are songs for the people who are going up to special meetings of God's people in Jerusalem. I've only got a couple of images to put on the board this week. So here they are going up. Well, actually, I'll put them down. They're going up. And they're going up to the city of Jerusalem. So there are some buildings. And of course, the biggest building in Jerusalem would be the temple, where they had special meetings of God's people. So they're going up to the city of Jerusalem. When Jesus was on earth, he went to these sorts of meetings. He went along with the people of Israel to these meetings. Now that Jesus has come, though, and finished his work, we don't go to Jerusalem. We look forward to meeting with God and Jesus when we die. That's what we had in one of the sentences earlier. Set your hope fully on the grace to be revealed to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. We're looking forward to that. And we meet together like this, just in local meetings. So Psalm 125 is one of the things that they'd be using as they're going up to Jerusalem. Verse 1, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be on Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Three things I want to show from this psalm. Next slide, next image on the screen. I hope we'll show it. And it will help you as we go through. If you can see one of these orange sheets, we're not collecting them in. If you get the right or wrong answers, don't worry. But it's just a different way of doing it this week. Rather than having lots of pictures on the front here, something different for us to do, a sheet with a few questions. God looks after his people. Second point, God will protect his people. Ask God to look after his people. That's what we're going to see from this psalm. So the people, they're walking up to Jerusalem. They're approaching the city. They come over a hill or they turn the corner. and they see it. They see Jerusalem, the city for meeting, and it's built on a mountain, which we've sung about, Mount Zion, built on top of Mount Zion. What two things does the psalm say about Mount Zion? First question, number one. What two things does the psalm say about Mount Zion? And the answer is going to be in the Bible. It will not be shaken, and it endures forever. Brilliant. Yeah, that's what we want you to learn to do here in Dagenham Parish Church, is see what the Bible says, because God speaks in the Bible. What's the Bible saying? Mount Zion. And we don't just want to learn about mountains, that they can't be shaken and they endure forever. We're going to see why it mentions that. But it won't be shaken. You can shake jelly, can't you? You have jelly in a bowl, or that wobbles. If you've got a small tree, you can hold the tree and shake it and the leaves will shake. But you can't shake a mountain. You can't shake Mount Zion. And mountains endure. That means they keep going. Mountains were there before I was born. They're there all through my life, and they're there when I die. So many of the buildings that we're surrounded by, they fall down or they're knocked down. This building's quite unusual. But buildings come and go in London. Mountains, they stay. And the Bible says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, can't be shaken, but remains forever. These are the ones who know God's way is good. They believe his promises. They trust him. They can't be shaken, moved out of life with God. They will endure. They will continue with him forever. So the people, they're walking up to Jerusalem, getting to the city, go over the top of the hill or just round a corner. And they see something else. What is surrounding Jerusalem? Mountains. Yeah, so there's Mount Zion in the middle, but then there's other mountains all around, surrounding it, all these other hills. So it's quite hard for them to walk to it. So that's question number two. What is surrounding Jerusalem? Other mountains or mountains. Those other mountains that are around it make Jerusalem safe. It's like a fence around a playground that keeps dangerous dogs out. It makes Jerusalem a safe place. And the Bible says God is like those mountains, verse 2. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. He is keeping his people safe so others can't get to them. Like the mountains that surround Jerusalem, the Lord surrounds and protects his people both now and forevermore. So people who trust God are like Mount Zion. They're like that mountain that won't be shaken and is going to stay. And God is like the mountains around, protecting, looking after his people. We can trust God, the Bible says. We can be sure he looks after his people. Now, why is Dagenham Parish Church going to keep going week after week, year after year? Is it because we're such a strong group? Because we're so rich? Because we're so clever? It's because God will keep his people going. God will look after this. And this is one of the things that we remember when we're singing, how God looks after his church. Now, there aren't mountains for us to see as we go around life in Dagenham, are there, that can help us remember this. But maybe if you see something really strong, like a big digger or some really big vehicle, that can remind you, well, God is a lot stronger than that. Maybe if you see people who work for protection, like the police, you think God is much better protection than any police force. God is doing that for his people. So God looks after his people. Second thing, God will protect his people because there's a danger to them. And the danger begins with evil rulers, verse 3. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. Now, you can't answer this question from the Bible, actually. This is what you need in order to understand the Bible. What is a scepter? There's that word's there in the Bible, but what does it mean? It's not an everyday word, is it? Anyone know what a scepter is? It's like a baton or a stick, that's right, that the ruler holds in their hand. Who was it? Who was given a scepter earlier this year, back in King Charles? That's right. So when he was sat on his throne, they gave him all sorts of things and got him undressed and got him dressed and did things to him. And one of the things they did was they gave him a stick to hold, or a baton. It wasn't a stick, was it? It was probably made of gold. But that was the sign to show he's in charge. He's the one with the stick. So that's what a scepter is. A scepter is a rod or a stick. That's the question number three. And the scepter of the wicked is a way of saying bad rulers are in charge, but they won't be in charge forever. God will not let them remain. Verse three, the scepter of the wicked will not remain. Why not? Why won't God let them remain in charge? Anyone know? Why not? It's not a question on your sheet. It's an extra question I've thrown in. Well, I guess because God doesn't like evil is one very good answer, but it's not the answer in this verse, actually. Brilliant. Thank you, Graham. Yeah. So it might encourage the good people to do bad things. It might encourage the righteous to do evil. So I'll read the whole of verse three. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Okay. So the question on the sheet is, what do good people do when bad rulers are in charge? What might they do? They might do evil. Yeah. And God won't let that happen. He's protecting his people from doing evil. You see, if the wicked were always in control, those who are right, who do right, might start doing wrong. When God's people have bad teachers, many people listen to them and follow them. Yeah, that's one of the dangers that we can have. Or when God's people have bad teachers, we might get angry about them. And think about all these things that are being taught now in our church denomination about marriage and relations. We could be disappointed, but we could become angry and rude and start sinning ourselves. We could start being evil in what we do in reaction. Or when God's people have bad teachers, we could just become less and less bothered and love Jesus less and less. Those are the dangers. So either that we go along with the bad teachers and we agree with their teaching, or we hate their teaching so much that we're angry and rude and we sin ourselves, or that we just lose energy and lose heart. But the Bible says here, the Lord won't allow wicked rulers to remain. He won't leave them in charge. He looks after his people and he will protect his people. And so the third thing from the Psalm, on the orange sheet, God will protect his people from doing evil. God will protect his people from doing evil. The third thing, pray to him. Ask God to look after his people. Being sure of God doesn't mean we then do nothing. We pray. If we're people who trust God, who believe his promises, who trust that his way for us is right, then we're going to put that trust into practice by speaking to him, by praying to him. And so the Psalm says, pray to God that he won't let problems happen for his people. Verse 4, Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. That's exactly what he said he's going to do. But now the psalm says, I'm going to pray that. If we know what God wants, that's a good thing to ask him. No good me asking God to help me to steal or to cheat or to lie. He doesn't want me to do those things. He won't help me. But ask him to do the things he's promised he will do. And we can be sure he'll do that. He does want me to love my neighbor, which is something I find very hard. But I can ask him for help. When we trust God, we pray. What's the prayer? Verse 4, Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. This is not two different lots of people, the people who do good and the people who are upright in heart. It's two ways of talking about God's people. And it's not people who never sin, because nobody never sins. These are the people who are forgiven, and they want God's ways in their lives now. The people who do good and are upright in heart. What should we pray for them? Question five, what should we ask God? I've helped you, given you half the answer. What should we ask God? Question five. Do good. Yeah, D for do, G for good. Verse four, Lord, do good to those who are good. He said he will surround them. He says he will protect them. So we're praying, Lord, please surround us and protect us. Surround us from enemies. Protect us from giving in to our own wrongdoing. If we had bad teachers, we might use our hands to do evil in our church. And what happens then? Verse 5, but to those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. That's a very serious warning. We mustn't go along with the false teachers or become angry and be sinful against them because of our anger, or just become disheartened. God looks after his people. God will protect his people. So ask God to look after us. Now, Psalm 125, there's no part of the New Testament that has the words from Psalm 125, but the idea is there. And I want to show you that next on the screen. Mark's going to show you John chapter 10. Short bit of the Bible. Just going to spend a moment looking at this. So if you can leave behind Psalm 125 now, turn to 1077. John chapter 10. We'll just go through what we've got on the orange sheets, shall we? Check that we're in the same place. Question one, what two things did the psalm say about Zion? It won't be shaken, will endure forever. What's surrounding Jerusalem? Other mountains. People who trust God are safe because God's looking after them. Question three was, what's a scepter? That's a rod of the ruler. What might good people do when bad rulers remain in charge? They might be led to evil, but God will protect his people from doing evil. He'll protect his people from their sin. What should we ask God? Do good. Right. Yes, we're asking him to do good for his people. So, John chapter 10, verse 22. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. Don't need to worry about what Solomon's colonnade was, but do you notice there Jesus is in Jerusalem? He has gone up for one of the special meetings of God's people. Verse 24, the Jews who were there gathered round him, saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you didn't believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they know me. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So Jesus says his people are like sheep, and he cares for them. And we can be sure that we're never going to be separated from Jesus' care for us. Why can we be sure? It's because we are so clever, isn't it? It's not because we're so clever. Why can we be sure we'll never be separated from Jesus' care for his people? It's because we're so strong. No, it's not because we're so strong. Why can we be sure we'll never be separated? It's because we're so rich. No, why is it we won't be separated? Because Jesus is good and look. Yeah, but Jesus looking, what if someone else comes along? Why does it Jesus looking after us means we're okay? Why will we never be separated, does it say? Sorry, Graham? He loves us, but you could still say, how can we be sure we're never going to be separated? What does Jesus say in verse 28 and 29? No way, that's right. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Why not? Because he is greater than all. Jesus is the Son of God. God the Father is the creator of all. No one is greater than. So if he has got someone, if a person belongs to God, no one can get them out of his hands. They are safe always, forever. So God looks after his people. God will protect his people. No one can take them out of God's hands. So ask God to look after his people. Let's, Dagenham Parish Church, we should be a church that keeps praying, that prays, God, look after the people like you said you would. Make our church safe. Safe from wrong teachers who might make us do evil. Make us safe from governments who might make it hard for us to meet at church or might make us feel like turning to sin because we want to go their way like them. Keep us safe. Please give us the goodness of life with you. Let's keep praying that for our church because that's what the Bible is telling us to do. Please stay afterwards. There's going to be a short time of prayer just at the front here, as we have done before in summer months. The prayers are written out. You don't have to be an expert at thinking up new prayers quickly. The prayers are written for you to read with us together. Let's say a short prayer now, though, following on from what we've learned. Just bow our heads to pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you surround your people like those mountains surrounded Jerusalem in the past. Thank you that you protect your people from evil rulers to stop us from following their sin. Please keep protecting us. Please keep holding on to us like Jesus said that you would, because no one can snatch us out of your hand. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. About to have our final song. Little Sunday Club didn't happen. Is that right? They came back. Yeah, fine. Okay. Don't need to give that notice. Is there someone who's expecting to go and organize the tea and coffee? I'm not seeing anyone carrying a milk bottle. No? If someone has now give us a nod. Someone else has given it's a bit like one of those auctions, you know, a raise, yeah, people waving. Thank you very much, those who are willing to step in to do this. We're going to stand to sing.